Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you ever so much. My name is Willie Lawson. The program is Real Talk. We appreciate this. And I wanted to have a real talk tonight. And it's all based on a conversation that I guess I started on my Facebook page. Let me read the post to you. That way I'm not paraphrasing. You think I would remember it because I wrote it 14 hours ago. It's all of this. Quote, who wore it better, end quote, Ms. Obama versus Mrs. Trump is stupid, period. Please stop, exclamation point, from everyone. Everyone wants us to stop. Because it's, first of all, it is stupid. It's stupid. It's, for me, it's sophomoric. It's middle schoolish. And I see it as a horrible distraction. And especially, and I'll explain what I believe the description is for someone like me. We get back from our first set of messages. But the bigger issue is I'm asking the question tonight, why are white conservatives so afraid of having any conversations about race? Because now you bring up race. They say you're race baiting. I got actually called a racist on my Facebook page today, a couple hours ago. It's like, really? I was a racist simply because I had to bring it up. Because what's happening is that we're now sort of, and I think white conservatives feel comfortable because there's this concept of. Colorblind. I don't see color. Yeah, you do. Certainly you do. And seeing color and noticing race isn't what the problem is. It's what you do once you see it, once you do notice. That's what the deal is. It is what you notice. You know, that when, what was it? Dave Chappelle, I'm watching the other night, and he's saying that Damon Green has to be the blackest name in the world. If you type in Damon Green in Airbnb, it just will all go off automatically. I mean, that was a funny thing. And he was talking about having respect for Rachel Dolezal. If she really thinks she's black and she needs to change her name from Rachel to like Damon Green or something, and everybody's like, oh, that's black. But it, you know what, I think it's interesting that we can't have these conversations because this is idea of that the top of the ladder in this intellectually are the people who don't see color. That's foolishness. Those are people who are walking around blindfolded who are not willing to talk about issues that matter. Yes, I wish it didn't matter. But the fact of the matter is that it does. And I'm going to until white conservatives stop being chicken bits and have these conversations, especially when you have, quite frankly, can I say this? Can I toot my own horn here for a second? When you have someone like me who's willing to walk you through it, let me walk you through it. Let me help you avoid the landmines. Somebody called this program a couple of weeks ago, and they mentioned, I think it was a black man, mentioned that some of the other so-called black Republicans talk about black people. done that on this program. You can go to all 2,741 programs, and you'll find that that's never been the case for me. Because, frankly, I'm a lot of things. I am first, a child of God, first. I am second, an American citizen. And I am black. I'm black. I'm a black American. And there's no way that I can ignore that that's a reality for me. I have been in this skin, in this earth suit, for 58 years. And in September of 2019, it will have been 59 years, damn near 60 years I've been in this earth suit. And it hasn't lightened up one bit. The only parts that are light are the parts that were light when I came here. The palms of my hand, the bottoms of my feet. Everything else is dark and frankly getting darker. I'm not sure why that is, but that seems to be my reality. So it is impossible and ridiculous to decide that I'm not going to notice it. I'm going to pretend that it doesn't exist. I'm going to say I'm not African American because I'm not African American. That's a misnomer. I am black. I'll just say that. You know what? And I know that I am not the color black that's in the crayon box. I understand that. But that's a closer description to who I am and what I am than African American, because African American means that I've got some recent African heritage. I can't claim Africa because I don't know where in Africa. Africa is not a country. Africa is a continent. It's one of the seven continents. It's a big ass place. So I don't have any. I can't say this tribe in Africa, in Nigeria. I have relatives there that I know. I can't claim something that I don't know anything about. I can't. I was born in New Jersey. My relatives live in New Jersey, Georgia, and Central Florida. That I know about, that I can claim. My mother was born in Tampa, Florida. My father was born in Hawkinsville, Georgia. And there are still relatives in places. There is my heritage. My heritage is something that I know about, that I can grab onto. And, you know, other people have other opinions. That's my heritage, and that's the heritage that I take. I'll run with it. So I don't like the African American, not because I hate Africa or I'm some people hating Negro. Just have any connection to it. Just like the people who say they're German American that have never been out of the state of Pennsylvania. You're not German American. You're American American. You're Pennsylvania American. You've never been out of the state of Pennsylvania. How are you connecting with some German heritage that you don't know anything about? I think that's stupid too. Italian American, same thing. Same thing. Unless you just moved from Italy and you're living in the United States, you could say that you're Italian American. Your parents are from there. Then you may be able to say that. But if it goes back to many iterations, then and not so much. That's just me. But anyway, but it's hard to live. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, what I'm in is earth suit and look at my skin and go, man, I'm a black guy. It's not something that I achieved. Not something that I fought for. Like Steve Martin in the Jerk. I was born a poor white child. You know? You know, that's not how it is. So, am I proud to be black? You're usually proud of something that you accomplish. I haven't accomplished. Being black is not an accomplishment. I'm proud of my accomplishments. I am proud of the accomplishment of my friends, my families. Am I proud of my race? All of it? Am I proud of the DC snipers? Or do I, can I take pride in the accomplishment of certain truth? Can I take pride in the accomplishment of Ben Carson? Can I take pride in the accomplishment of Mary Beth McLeod? Can I take pride in that? Be encouraged by it? Yes. Can I take pride in it? Can I appropriate it that way? No. So I'm giving you some basis of where I am personally. I'm talking about race from, because I think that's important. Because I don't want anybody to get it twisted. I'm not turned into a black nationalist. So if anybody thinks that I have made the switch, I have not. But I do notice. I can still be a conservative Republican and know without any doubt that I'm a black guy. I'm a black man for 58 years. I've been a black person for 58 years. I wasn't a man when I was 6. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want anybody to get it twisted. I'm going to take a little break here in a second. I want to talk about why white conservatives see race conversations as a third rail. You know, part of it is I think they're uncomfortable talking about race, fear of expressing an incorrect viewpoint out loud. Political correctness has made white folks terrified of open conversations about any number of topics, and race is truly one of them. Like I said earlier, some meaning white people have introduced the concept of being colorblind. You know, you've heard them. They swear. You don't see color. Once you have your eyes open, you see color. The measure is not what you not you notice. It's more that what you do once you notice. So today's conversation is an attempt to understand barriers and to overcome them. We'll be back right after these messages.
Are you looking for a reliable transportation, but you don't have a bunch of money? Are you wary of used car types? And you should be. You just need a car you can afford and a dealer you can trust. Great news. Good Guy Cars is here. John Desbrow is something you don't find every day. An honest used car dealer. Good Guy Cars is at 8412 Industrial Boulevard in Tampa, Florida. The phone number is 813-999-9992. That's 813-999-9992. The web address is www.goodguycars.com. Hi, this is Willie Lawson. You know, with so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired. It's Flipboard. Yeah, Flipboard curates the world's story so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. When you see stories that you want to save or share, just tap the plus button and add them to your private or public collections. It's that simple. It's used by millions of people every day. Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. So get started now at flipboard.com. That's flipboard.com. In America, there are three proven ways to build wealth: business, investment, and real estate. All three seem to have high hurdles to jump to get into, but believe it or not, real estate is the lowest of the three hurdles, and multifamily real estate investing is the best way to go. From duplexes to apartment complexes, multifamily investing brings the biggest bang for your investment buck. My friends at Buy It, Rent It, Profit and the Landlord Academy are ready, willing, and able to get you going on the path of building wealth. Contact Joe Ebanks and Brian Chavis at buyitrentitprofit.com. Buyitrentitprofit.com.
All right, we're back. We are back. Thank you again for coming to Real Talk. We appreciate it greatly. And please let me know where you're hearing this podcast. If you're hearing it on iHeartRadio or Spotify, wherever you're hearing it, I'd certainly like to know. That would be awesome. In any case, we were talking about why are white conservatives afraid of the race conversations. And I think that part of it is that no matter how much people try to shun this political correctness and say it doesn't have anything to do with them, everybody is scared. You know, a lot of people are scared to death of it, and white folks are scared to death of it. Because I think a lot of times they just don't ever know who they're talking to, or they don't trust who they're talking to, so they remain very guarded. And having race conversations, especially if somebody, a white conservative, is having race conversations with somebody who's black and who's a conservative, who notices, like me, someone like me, who notices, oh, by the way, I know I'm black, and I don't know if I'm talking about it, they're sort of put off by it a little bit. It makes them nervous. It makes them uncomfortable. And nobody likes to do anything they're uncomfortable with. I get that. Nobody wants to talk about things you're uncomfortable talking about. You know, I have a friend now who used to be a former student who was going through a rough patch in her marriage, and we were having, you know, I've been married 31 years, and we were having some real adult conversation about her marriage, and intimacy came up. So this kid used to be my student when she was in high school. So now, because she brought this conversation to me, we're having this discussion about intimacy, sex, in her marriage. So she's feeling, I told her, I know that you're uncomfortable. This is weird. But this is an important part about the conversation. If you're asking my opinion on stuff, then I need to ask questions about certain things. And I said, as long as you're good with it, I mean, anytime you want to stop, then we'll stop. But if you want me to help you, then we need to talk about these issues. So sometimes people feel uncomfortable talking about things. And sometimes white folks, because of the pressure they sometimes feel, because they don't want to make a mistake, they don't want to say something wrong. Even if they don't believe something, they don't want to say it in a way that makes them look bad. Nobody wants to look bad either, right? You know, what are some of the things that as black people that we talk about with our white friends? Never tell anybody this. I have lots of black friends. Don't ever say that. We laugh about that, right? Because what? Because that's one of the things that white people say. I have lots of black friends. So you have black friends. You don't just have friends. You see how that can be turned against them. So white people end up being very guarded. White conservatives even more guarded because media says they're racist. A lot of people, Democrats, say they're racist. A lot of people on the left say they're racist. And if you're white and you're conservative, then what comes with that is, oh, you're racist too. Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? White people who are conservative aren't automatically racist, and there's even this school of thought that says all white people are racist. What? That doesn't make any sense. We've seen that racism is something you have to learn, something that you have to ascribe to, and practice. So, for everybody who's white and American to be a racist is insane and ridiculous. You have to learn that. And part of that conversation, part of this conversation is, even with white people, is having this part of the conversation where of course I don't believe every white person is racist. Now, on the other hand, are there white people who are racist? The answer is yes. Are there white people who don't think they're racist who actually are? Yes. Well, they're black racists too. Yeah, but I'm not talking about them right now. I'm talking about you. Like when you have a conversation with a child. Am I calling white people elders? Some of them. When you say, I told you not to go outside. Well, everybody else was outside. Not talking about them, talking about you. So, yes. Are there racists who fit the definition of racist? Yes, there are. Yes. But we're not talking about them right now. And even if there are, it doesn't give you the ability, the license to be racist too. So, but I don't believe that all white people are racist. But I do think that a lot of white conservatives are sort of like bulls in the china shop sometimes. And don't understand how difficult, and I told you I'd get to this, how difficult they make it for black conservatives that have chosen to do their work, who have chosen to put their ministries of self-reliance, conservatism, smaller government, you know what, where they live, especially if we live in, I live in a black community. I live in the hood. I don't live in the ghetto. I do live in the hood. And this, where I like living. I like living here. I like the mixture of people here. I like the age of my neighborhood. I like living where I'm living. I'm not interested in moving behind a gated fence somewhere where there's everybody who thinks like me. Even if I don't look like me, I'm not interested. My work is here. And certain people say stuff that's role worthy just makes what we do here, what I do here, that much more difficult. So you have to understand, and people understand this. Whenever somebody black does something awful and nefarious, people are made to feel by the culture we live in, black culture, the American culture, that's how I have to answer, that I'm part of all of that. Let me tell you. And here's something that white people don't get. They don't get, so they don't have to experience it. So you're watching the news and they say there was somebody murdered 14 people on an express train today. White people don't go, don't let it be white. White folks don't do that. Black people do. I mean, we're like, oh. So when we hear the name, the guy was Jaime McGillicuddy, we're like, oh. The guy who killed 14 people on an express train, not black. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and white folks don't understand that at all. And I'll tell you why. Because when that stuff happens, white folks make it more difficult, especially the racist white folks, make it more difficult for regular black folks to go about their life, to go about their thing. They just do. You know, the little lady in the elevator, you know what, is her purse a little tighter when I walk in there. 280 pounds, I'm all five and a half. I couldn't run across an elevator, let alone take a purse from an old lady, get off, and then run down the flight of stairs. So I pose no threat to the old lady at all. Her kids pose a greater threat because they're going to poison me and get the inheritance money. I pose no threat to the lady, but she clutches her purse a little tighter. Why? Because on the TV, the guy who killed 14 people on an express train was black. And she looks across the elevator, and she sees a black man. So, almost instinctively, she clutches her purse a little tighter. Maybe waits for the next elevator. I said, you know, I'm the safest person for anybody to be around. I ain't gonna hurt anybody. Which is what it doesn't happen. People don't look at folks that way. When we get in the elevator, we don't go, oh, this white man's gonna rob me. This white man's gonna rob me. Because he's gonna kill us all because I saw the guy who killed people on that train, on that express train. He was white. So this guy's gonna kill us all. But I don't think of white like that. We just don't. There'll be 1,000 reasons why we don't. We don't. White folks think of us that way. So this is why this whole concept, this whole nonsense in colorblind is just that. Because how you behave once you do notice. Right? And so why I think that, again, it goes back to white folks don't, white conservatives have, and I gotta believe that they're well-meaning. I may like conversation to the big items. They think of the big items, you know, small government, constitutional adherence, personal responsibility, you know, economic freedom, that sort of stuff. So when you slip in something that's more social, like race, some of the conservatives don't like it because it's really outside the wheelhouse. I may start saying things to you like, well, Martin Luther King was a Republican. So? And I tell them, what difference does that make? I told many a white conservatives, especially white Republicans anyway, where I live, that if they're looking to expand the tent politics, they're going to have to go into black neighborhoods in this county, talk to black millennials in a way that black millennials are listening. Here's what they can't do. They can't deputize me and send me. It doesn't work. Because everybody sees that a mile away. Oh, they deputized you, sent you here. So why don't they come to our meeting? They're afraid to come into the hood at night? What are they afraid of? Miss Millie clutching her purse a little tighter when she drives to the hood, right? Make sure all her doors are locked. Well, you used to kill me. I'm running out of time. You used to kill me. I was, I don't know, 12 years, 13 years old. I was matchstick. I was truly a matchstick. I was skinny. I was short. I weighed probably, when I was in 11, I was 12 years old. I probably weighed all 105 pounds, all 106 pounds. And I'd be standing in the corner waiting for the bus or to the library. Of course, I was going to the library. No, seriously, going to the library, and a car would pull up at the stop sign, at the traffic light, and a white lady would be in it, and she would reach over and lock the door. Now, she drove down the street at 40 miles an hour. That door could have popped open, and she could have fallen out and busted her head on the curb and been killed. But when she stopped and saw me, the little kid, truly a little kid, the big afro, had a big afro, big afro. Wait, bus threatened her somehow. I don't know how. I don't know how. I was skinny, but I was out of shape. I wasn't going to be able to open that door and pull her out, take her purse. First of all, I wasn't going to. Even if I was strong enough to do so, I wasn't ever going to. But I don't know why I was a threat to her, but she always locked her door. And I started to notice that. And at first I thought, well, maybe they just forgot to lock the door when they got in the car. But it just happened too often. It happened all the time. I was like, what? They think I'm going to do something. And I would always think, damn, I'm 12 years old. And I'm standing here. I'm in sixth grade. What am I going to do to them? If I had a gun, I'd just shoot in the window. Lock the door. I'd blow the window out. Who cares? You see what I'm saying? So white folks look at black people differently. Now, there's a lot of reasons why that is. A lot of it's history. A lot of it's media. A lot of it's movies. A lot of it's, just the culture. Do not want to have a race conversation. And they miss out because there are people like me who have a unique perspective on race that they don't know about. Somebody who, quite frankly, I'm not the black conservative who grew up with white parents and lived in a gated community and went to the all-white school, all-white, prep school, and was always around white people. That was not me. So I have a perspective of especially the urban black experience in a similar way like Ben Carson does. Ben Carson has a perspective of the urban community as he grew up in Detroit that his white counterpart simply cannot. So the advantage to white conservatives is I'm a great resource in the race relation conversation. So what I'm not going to say is that I'm not going to rubber stamp every bit of your madness, every bit of your colorblind madness. I'm going to hold you, and this is why they don't want to talk about it, I'm going to hold you, Mr. or Mrs. White Conservative, to a higher standard. Because now you have information and perspective that a lot of people don't have. You've got a gold mine in me or someone like me. And where I live, there are people like Stanley Glosser. Stanley and I get off my lawn on Facebook on Thursday. He's working this month, so we'll be back in January. My friend Dewan Washington, same thing. Eddie Adams Jr., same thing. You can catch us tomorrow if you're listening local on Porch Talk Radio, 1 o'clock, 1150 WTMP. We're back. I mean, a wealth of people who have grown up in black communities are now conservative and may have been conservative Republicans all along, but we have that perspective that nobody else has. We have that wealth of real on the skin experience that you can't read about. And that you can't get vicariously through people that you don't know. You can't get vicariously through someone like Ben Carson or someone like Herman Cain. Because you don't know them. You only know of them. You know me. And those of you who listen to this program, you know me. You've been listening to me since March 25th of 2008. Right here on Blood Talk Radio. Yes, I remember the day. Yes, I remember the day. Yes. When I did my first show, I remember the day. It was a Saturday, March 25th. Yes, you can search that right here on Blood Talk Radio. And if you're listening on another platform, Blood Talk Radio and Google my name, and that ought to help you. So confident that I have a perspective that can help white conservatives navigate what white liberals have turned into a minefield, a horrific minefield. When it comes to conversations about race, All they have to do is be open to it. Trust me. Be open to it. Now, what I have found is that some people are and some people are not, which is too bad. And I'll tell you what conversation about Mrs. Obama and Mrs. Trump is. We get back to our break with more of the talk right after the messages.
In America, there are three proven ways to build wealth: business, investment, and real estate. All three seem to have high hurdles to jump to get into, but believe it or not, real estate is the lowest of the three hurdles, and multifamily real estate investing is the best way to go. From duplexes to apartment complexes, multifamily investing brings the biggest bang for your investment buck. My friends at Buy It, Rent It, Profit and the Landlord Academy are ready, willing, and able to get you going on the path of building wealth. Contact Joe Ebanks and Brian Chavis at buyitrentitprofit.com. Buyitrentitprofit.com. Hi, this is Willie Lawson. You know, with so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired. It's Flipboard. Yeah, Flipboard curates the world story so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. When you see stories that you want to save or share, just tap the plus button and add them to your private or public collections. It's that simple. It's used by millions of people every day. Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. So get started now at Flipboard.com. That's Flipboard.com. Are you looking for a reliable transportation, but you don't have a bunch of money? Are you wary of used car types? And you should be. You just need a car you can afford and a dealer you can trust. Great news. Good Guy Cars is here. John Desbrow is something you don't find every day. An honest used car dealer. Good Guy Cars is at 8412 Industrial Boulevard in Tampa, Florida. The phone number is 813-999-9992. That's 813-999-9992. The web address is www.goodguycars.com.
All right, back. You know, this infamous Facebook post that I wrote, again, it just read, all of this, quote, who wore better, end quote, Mr. Obama versus Mrs. Trump is stupid. Please stop. Trump, everybody. Here are a number of the responses that I got. I agree totally. Very stupid. I for sure don't comment or share it. One person wrote, thank you. I can't stand the personal attack. I can't stand the personal attacks that have nothing to do with policy, regardless of who it is in office or who is doing personal attacks. And they did it first, childish ignorance excuse to retaliate with personal attacks. Somebody else wrote, I agree. Stop the silliness. But here's the other side of that. The other side of that is, here's a comment. The major media never posted anything hateful, sexual, dismissive, or whatever Michelle wore. But Mrs. Trump looks, quote, nude because she wore tan slacks. Please. You wonder why nobody buys papers or watches cable news. this person is missing the point. Talking about the great unwashed, sure as hell did. And still do. It's, you know, with its tasteless classes attacked, sometimes even boring on obscene. Somebody else wrote, I agree, Willie, absolutely unnecessary. Here's somebody else who doesn't quite get it because they're really sort of in the milieu of all this awful stuff. I see those side by side. I just can't notice how beautiful and classy it looks. I just ignore the yellow curtains on the other side. No comment necessary. Then somebody else wrote, at least the first lady, quote, is a lady. Quote is Kanye, exposed us to this. And there's an article that this person dropped a link in People Magazine that Kardashian had a nip slip at the Christmas Eve party. Who cares? Somebody wrote, totally agree, and I've been deleting all sites and that perpetuate that nastiness. November 2016 brought us a new day, and we are losing it to stupidity and propaganda. A good friend of mine wrote, how petty our society has become. Somebody else wrote, totally agree. Somebody else who didn't really get it yet. Like most divisive comments, the origin of this competition is media. Many of us love Mrs. Trump's wardrobe. I belong to a few sewing groups, and me and discuss whether to purchase a pattern knockoff. The media continues to exalt Mrs. Obama, putting her on numerous magazine covers while ignoring Mrs. Trump. The media uses. Okay. This person is blaming the media. I know. Some of the attacks I saw for 8 years against Michelle Obama were like she was transgender. That she was actually a man. You never saw. Somebody else. I'll find it here. I had long conversations about this stuff. Somebody else sent me a meme that says, your race card has been declined. Do you have another argument? And to that wrote, bite me. Somebody else called me a racist. And I have to make everything about race. I hardly make anything about race. And just because somebody talks about race doesn't mean that they shouldn't talk about race. And doesn't mean they're race baiting. It doesn't mean that they're racist. But sometimes these things have to be discussed. They have to be discussed by adults. And they have to be discussed out loud. And they have to be discussed in a way that forces people to pay attention and participate. The fact of the matter is that the attacks on Michelle Obama, some of them are racist, and they hurt my ability to do my work in my community because I have to deal with fallout from some of these remarks. It makes it tough. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it. And so are a lot of other black conservatives. This could be a walk away, but it's going to end up in a place for people that people never thought it would if things don't change and change fast. We got to get here, maybe somebody else. Till we see you again, go out there and learn something. We will see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.